What's good? What's good? I am back. One and only Paul Pickett, host of the Paul Pickett Podcast, a.k.a. Triple P, a.k.a. the Common Sense Podcast, your source for music, sports, politics, world events, and much, much more. If I'm not mistaken, it's fight week again this week. Literally almost every week is fight week between UFC, boxing, bare knuckle. So, yeah, fight week. We got BKFC 79 Sturgis, Gogo versus Lane. I guess while we wait for our guests, we're going to talk about that for a little bit. You got Gogo versus Lane. You got Taylor Starlin versus Shelby Cannon. Definitely go check out the interview I did with Shelby Cannon. We got Brandon Conley versus David Simpson. Definitely go check out the interview I did with David Simpson as well. Zach Kalmus versus Corey Willis. Also got an interview with Zach Kalmus. Go check that out. Cheyenne Bentley versus Marisol Ruiz. Cody Kerr versus Dylan Bladen. Trayvon Kroger versus Daniel Pettit. And what we got? Bear Hill versus Iman Williams. I think his opponent was changed. Dan Godoy versus Ruben Arroyo. Elvin Brito versus Jeremiah Scott. And Timmy Mason versus Corey Roberts. That one was the last one added. So that would be in Sturgis August 2nd, which is literally Saturday. Next Saturday, that starts 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I don't see the free fights as of yet. And they might not have none. Who knows? But definitely. Oh, yeah. Also, go check out the interviews I did with Elvin Brito and Jeremiah Scott. I recently interviewed him, and he basically announced on the Paul Pickett Podcast that he would be fighting Elvin Brito like a few days before they announced it themselves on BKFC's end. Jessica Borga, appreciate you. Appreciate you, Black Widow. Let's check on our guest real quick, make sure he's still good. Let's see. Message him real quick. I guess while I'm waiting for that, we'll go over the next week. You got BKFC Fight Night Edmonton, which is August 9th, which is our guest tonight. We'll be fighting on that card. You still got BKFC Budva Montenegro. You got BKFC 80 Hollywood again at Hard Rock Hotel Casino, BKFC Manchester, BKFC Jersey, and BKFC Rome. And also should be interviewing BKB fighters here soon, as soon as BKB gets back to me with some fighters to interview. Supposed to be following up with a fighter and see if he's going to be available for interview. Don't forget that the audio version of all my podcasts goes to Spotify, Apple, Amazon, Deezer, TuneIn, Stitcher, Slacker, iHeartRadio, Player FM, and much, much more. Okay, I guess while we wait, we're going to go over the results of BKFC Fight Night Paige versus Peterson. It was some pretty good fights on here. One of the better cards, I would say. Some cards that can be disappointing. You had Elijah Harris versus Isaiah Carson. Of course, Elijah Harris knocked him out in 7 seconds. Yeah, Maurice Horn versus Cody Vidal. And that was a really good one. That went 4 rounds. TKO. Pat, and of course, Cody Vidal won that one. Pat Sullivan fought Austin Peterson. He won with a TKO in the first round, 15 seconds. Up. I guess about to come on. Give him a second to get his camera on. Still says device not connected. And of course, you had Alessio Sicaro versus Eric Lozano. And that was a second round TKO, 48 seconds. John Garbarino, Johnny Cannoli beat Eric Lopez, second round. And that was a minute 48 seconds, second round. Rosalina Rodriguez beat Gabrielle Roman, third round. TKO. And Dustin Pegg beat Ryan Peterson, second round. 29 seconds, TKO. And Pegg almost could have lost that fight. He literally went into that fight with a lot of blood in his eye from the first round and almost thought the doctor might call it off, because sometimes the doctors get a little overzealous and call him off a little too soon. Waiting on a guest. I see you popped up, but it doesn't look like his camera's on just yet. Let me let him know. Let's see. Give him a second. Looks like he clicked off, and hopefully he'll come right back. Up, there goes Thunder. Been a really, really hot. The doctor's never wrong. He doesn't stop it unless it needs to be. I get that, but sometimes they could let it go an extra round. Sometimes they do, you know, get a little overzealous, in my opinion. And I'm not the only one that says that when the crowd boos a lot of times when doctors stop it early. I've watched enough of these BKSC fights to see the fans get upset sometimes too when the doctors stop it a little too early, where they could have let it kind of go on a little further, at least one more round. Trying to unblock it. Okay. Let's see. Try to copy and paste into a browser. Up, there we go. There we go. All right, so we about to bring on our guest. It's 2-1 in the BKFC. If I'm not mistaken, he's the tallest bare knuckle fighter in the BKFC at 6'7". We'll be fighting Bodon Kodak August 9th, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, River Cree Racino Resort and Casino in Edmonton, Canada. Let's bring on the one and only Brady Big Bird Meister. Brady, what's good, man?
How's it going, Paul? Just another day in paradise. You caught me in between workouts. I got about an hour's worth of bag work and then about another hour's worth of cardio on the bike.
Are you tired?
Oh, all day. That's why I'm here. I ended up taking 2 weeks off of work, flying down to Florida to the Smith Brothers Combat Sports Academy. They've trained 5 world champions, including Lorenzo Hunt, Mike Richmond, and Josh D-Day Dyer.
Yeah, that seemed like a good spot to be, man. All those guys are some tough guys you just named.
Absolutely. They're absolute killers and monsters. And if I can capture 10% of what they bring to the table, I've got no doubts of what I can do in the ring.
All right, so before we get into your new fight, I just want to get to know you a little bit. So I heard an interview where you said you didn't play a lot of sports growing up. So what were you into as a kid?
Well, I was a screen kid. I played a lot of Xbox, stayed inside for the majority of the time. When I was younger, living in Colorado, me and my brother used to go outside and dig forts in our backyard. Some summers we would go out to my uncle's farm and we'd play in the trash heaps, make forts out there, and just help around in the shops. But beyond that, I wasn't a very active kid. I used to sit play on a computer, play on my PlayStation. It wasn't until post high school that I got into combat sports.
Okay, so you get into amateur MMA, which I says began in 2021. You had a 3-3 record, and why'd you decide to start competing in MMA?
Well, my first fight ever was actually amateur bare knuckle boxing. So my original head coach is Joe Diesel Riggs. I trained under him for about 3 years before I purchased his gym in Great Falls, Montana, which I still have running. But I moved to Great Falls September 1st of 2020. And I believe I fought that December. Don't quote me on that. It might have been January. No, it was February because I didn't start training until late November. Anywho, not important. I had moved up there, started training. The weight gym just wasn't doing it for me anymore, man. I had a lot of anger. I was running from a lot of problems, including a lot of self-doubt and a lot of self-consciousness and insecurities. The weight gyms weren't doing it, so I was like, fuck it, let's fight.
Okay, so you got the name Big Bird. Who gave you that name, or did you come up with that?
So I got the name Big Bird a couple years back from a former coach of mine. Unfortunately, we don't work together anymore. There's just some professional differences. Still a good guy. I wish him nothing but the best. But I have a lot of bird-like mannerisms. I'm a pretty odd duck. I mean, I try to be professional and well-spoken on camera. But if you get to know me, I'm just a silly, goofy guy who wants to be your friend. Combat sports to me isn't, ooh, I'm so hardcore. I'm the biggest. I'm the baddest. It's like, hi, we're going to play rough today, and then I want to be your friend after. You know? I try to bring a lot of positivity and a lot of welcomeness and sportsmanship into the sport.
So I saw where you said you fought for Fusion. What was that experience like for you?
So Fusion is one of the local promotions. I want to say that they're ranked third best in the Northwest region. I think there's only two other promotions, and I couldn't tell you off the top of my head. But they do a ton of work in Montana, which, believe it or not, has a pretty deep, a deep-rooted love for combat sports. You actually got a lot of BKFC guys out of there. Including Dallas Davidson or Dally the Dentist Davidson, Eric Lights Out Lopez, like you had mentioned, is from Montana as well. King Kai Stewart is out of Great Falls. Same with Dallas. Leo Bushido Bersier is out of Great Falls, as well as several other BKFC fighters in Montana.
So you said you did bare knuckle, then you got an MMA, but then you make this journey into BKFC. How did you end up in the BKFC?
I think I had just come off of a hard loss, against, what's his name? He was a super good guy. Colton Ruzendiel. I went three rounds with him. I ended up giving him like five stitches in his skull. He laid on top of me. He couldn't submit me, couldn't knock me out, but I couldn't get out from under him. I had put on a lot of weight during a bad bulk, and I didn't have the cardio to get out from under him. And after that fight, I was kind of in my head, and Joe walks up. He's like, you want to go pro? And I was broke at the time, so I was like, absolutely, let's get that paycheck. And then I want to say it was 3 months later, I had my first fight in the BKFC against Connor McKenna. Super awesome guy as well. Yeah. I finished him in the second round. Let's see. He caught me with an overhand left that his knuckle got me in the eye. And there's also a dent in my nose right here from another overhand left because I was being lazy and didn't keep my right hand up. But super awesome guy. Love to share the ring with him again or even a training camp with him.
Yeah, I interviewed Connor, a really great guy. So Joe Riggs is the one that got you into the BKFC?
He's the one who got me into combat sports in general. I had no intention of competition when I first went down to Diesel's. I just came down there because, like I said, I had a lot of anger. I had a lot of insecurity, and I wanted the booze and the drugs weren't working anymore. So I tried a different outlet, and now because of combat sports, I'm sober. Well, and my wife. I can't take all the credit. She's been a very big benefactor to the way I'm living.
So when you told your wife and other people you were getting into bare knuckle, what was their initial reaction?
So like I said, my first fight ever was amateur bare knuckle boxing. Yeah. Which if you ask Chris Lytle, he's never heard of until I came along. that was 3 years ago. I want to say BKFC 42 is when we had that interview. It was either 42 or 44. But when I told my family I was starting to fight, they're like, oh my God, Brady, our sweet baby boy. Because they all knew me as the intellectual of the family. My brother was a little bit more rough and tumble openly. But when I told my friends, every last one of them was like, it's about damn time. so everyone was really nervous until I knocked out my first opponent. He got up four times. I put him down five. And to hear the crowd cheer my name for the same reason that I had been ostracized and shunned for a lot of my life changed my entire outlook and my entire perspective on life. And it was unlike any rush I'd ever experienced before. It took a little bit of time for some of my family and friends to hop a little bit more on board. But I mean, my wife found me because of a cage fight.
Oh shit.
Yep. Yep. It was my pro MMA debut, which I want to say I won by rear naked choke in 23 seconds in the first round. And she had walked away to go grab a drink. And she was betting on all the handsomer fighters to win, and there I was. So we like to say that she picked me out of a cage.
Well, but so you say you fought amateur, then you fought pro with BKFC. Was there a big difference to you?
Oh, absolutely. The amateur circuit was just a little burner called Victory Fights that Joe had put on. He did that to get a lot of our guys some more experience in the local circuits. As well as, you know, help generate some income and revenue for our gym. I don't know if you know this, but combat sports gyms are not necessarily cash cows like everyone thinks they are.
Okay. Yeah, I know. I respect fighters a lot because a lot of fighters I've interviewed say it's really tough to make a living as a fighter without the big money fights and the sponsorships. They still got to work a lot of regular jobs. And I mean, everybody ain't trying. I could see that because everybody ain't trying to be a fighter. So yep. It's probably hard to make a lot of money off of a gym.
Absolutely. Well, and like I said, most people don't start fighting because their life's going great.
Okay.
Some of the best fighters in the world have gone through the hardest times, the most financial insecurity, and fighting is the way out for them. I know it was for me. I've been very fortunate to have a lot of blessings and a lot of privileges in my life that have afforded me the opportunities to have the potential to make a living at this sport. But I mean, this is my fifth fight now, and don't get me wrong, the paycheck is nice. But at this moment in time, it's a supplementary paycheck. Mm-hmm. It's just a nice little bonus to help, you know, get us along, dig out of debt, or, you know, take the family on a nice vacation. But it's nowhere close to paying all the bills to where I could afford to do this full time. In addition to owning and operating Diesel's Counterpunch, I also have a roster of about six fighters. I'm a professional athlete. I work full time. I do dump runs on the side. I stay busy because I have to. But combat sports is going to allow me the opportunity to, you know, only at a certain point, the gym's going to provide me the opportunity to be a stay-at-home dad so I can be involved in my kids' life and my wife's life a little bit more. So maybe one day I don't have to work as much as I have been.
All right. So, you know, I'll be looking up some stuff on ChatGPT about people because, you know, they give you a whole thing. So ChatGPT says your fighting style is like you uses the height, long reach to keep opponents at a distance, fights mostly from range, and avoids clinch striking at awkward angles. Would you say that's mostly accurate?
That is pretty accurate. Okay. I do enjoy a good clinch. I don't know a single bare knuckler who doesn't. I may be long and gangly, but I can also generate quite a decent amount of power from the inside. Now, granted, my bread and butter is my 1-2 from range. The vast majority of the knockouts in my career have been from a straight right. But it's still fun getting right into the fire. Boom, 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 boom. Like my last fight with Joe White, we had a couple of really awesome scrambles from the inside. There was one where he was standing southpaw through his three, and I threw a counter three on the inside. And because he came out super wide, I was able to get inside of his strike, land on his chin, and score a knockdown in round one.
And that's what I want to ask you about that fight next, you know, and congratulations on the win. I'm be honest. I don't know Joe White was favored, but I probably had him favored. I was really like shocked at the win. And it was a really impressive win to me. So you got the first knockdown and he got two straight knockdowns on you. What was going through your mind after two straight knockdowns?
I'll be honest with you. After I got knocked down each time, I was like, that hurt. All right, White, let's go. Yeah. And I took a moment, took a deep breath, stood back up, and I think I got a little angrier every time. Not to the point where I was losing my temper, but just like, all right, let's run it then.
Yeah, you got a little bit more intense. I could tell that after the second knockdown, you was like, yo, let's go, let's go.
Yep. That second knockdown hurt, man. Okay. He caught me. I don't remember if it was the first or the second knockdown, but he caught me on the side of my right nose, and I heard it, or my left side of my nose. I heard it crack, which I want to say is the fourth break in my combat sports career. But I was on the ground. Yes, it was the super dramatic one where I just went, oh, fell on the ground, went to clear my nose, spattered the mat with some blood, stood back up, was like, all right, let's run it. That fucking hurt. But it was a really good fight. I was a pretty heavy underdog in that one just because he had come off of two fights, one by knockout. Yeah. And the fight prior to that, I lost to Corey Willis in the first round by TKO. I am not proud of my performance in that fight. I would love an opportunity to face Corey again in the ring and show him just who I am and what I'm made of. I had a lot of personal stuff going on at that time, which is an excuse. It is not an acceptable excuse, but my head was not in the game.
Well, I really do feel like Joe White was a good win for you, because I felt like Joe White was a guy that was really coming on the rise, and you kind of brought him back down to earth a little bit.
Absolutely. Like I said, he was coming off of a two-fight win streak by knockout. And, you know, the guy swung hard. You know, he swung with everything he had in his power. But as soon as I saw him moving backwards in that second round, I started hitting the level changes. And if you rewatch the fight, you'll see his hands gradually start to drop with every single level change. Because prior to that, I had been working my jab and cross onto the inside of his body, specifically for that reason, to lower his hands to create an opportunity for me to land. I don't know how many stitches I gave him. I would like to know at some point. But I know I gave him stitches on the outside of his eye. And I want to say I broke his orbital with that last right. It almost re-broke my hand. But he was
definitely fucked up. You could tell he was hurt.
Yes.
Yeah, you could tell he was hurt.
Absolutely. When I turned my fists over, boom, I point with these two big knuckles all the way down. Yeah. And it got my third knuckle on my ring finger got stopped on his eyebrow. So we had two large knuckles penetrating into his eye or into his orbital cavity, which caused that immense swelling on his eye. I want to say he wore an eye patch for about 2 months after the fact because of the damage I had done.
You had him looking like Snake Spliffskin.
Like who?
Snake Spliffskin off Escape from New York and Escape from L.A., Kurt Russell.
Oh, I've never seen it. I'm not a super big movie or television guy.
Okay. So let's get into your next opponent, Bohdan Kotok. Besides him being Polish, what do you know about this guy?
I thought he was Ukrainian, but either way.
I think he's Polish.
Either way, of Slavic descent. He still seems like a really nice guy. I know he's 2-0. The reason why I put that in quotations is the only official bare knuckle that I saw was against, I want to say it's Jonathan Miller, the BKFC. Prior to that, he fought a gentleman, Ronnie Bakehi, who I was supposed to fight last year, once again, in Edmonton. But the footage I had on that, it was a modified boxing rule set where they still wore puffy gloves like in MMA sparring. So I wouldn't have classified that as a bare knuckle fight, but that's what they're calling it on his official record, which was interesting to me. Bakehi, I saw his movement. There was nothing really exceptional about that win. I did notice a couple of things on Bodon's game plan, how he operated, where he moved, that I'm going to be utilizing in this fight camp, that me and my coaches are already working on picking apart and recognizing the signs for, so we can create openings and opportunities to land heavy, significant strikes. And then the secondary fight with Jonathan Miller, Jonathan threw a lot of heavy punches, but he spent more time looking down at the mats than he did actually looking at his opponent. And from that, I noticed that Kotok from the stand, they'd clinched up a few times. He worked a little bit from inside the pocket, but there was not a lot of power generation that I could see. He still caused a stoppage, and I want to say the first, which is a significant victory for him, and I don't want to diminish that. But like I said, Jonathan was looking at the ground a lot and created a lot of openings and threw just a ton of looping overhands, which is a very common strategy against taller folks like me and him. Because I want to say Bodon is either 6'4 or 6'5, so it's going to be a battle of giants, which is going to be a very fun fight. I'm hoping that he has some good straight punches so we can have a good time in the ring and give the crowd a good show.
Well, it says he's 6'4", but it says he has 1 inch longer reach than you.
That's a non-issue for me. Because of the height advantage that I have, he'll be punching up. So that one-inch reach advantage will be mitigated, and we'll probably have a pretty similar reach. The advantage is going to be determined by footwork, head movement, level changes, and getting off of line and how we set up our strikes.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, too. Like, being that he's 3 inches shorter but a 1 inch longer reach, does it make it harder for you to use your height advantage? But you're saying it won't.
I'm saying that the height advantage is now mitigated, so it's not necessarily a key factor in it. Even though I am the taller opponent, I usually sit down pretty heavily on my back foot, specifically because people like to push directly into me. So it helps me keep a lower, more stable base. You know, with that being considered, the height advantage isn't necessarily something that I'm really counting on this fight. Because we are so similar in stature, it's going to be more of a technical battle, based off of head movement, footwork, and setups.
Now, will this be your first time in Canada?
Yes, this will be my first time visiting Canada.
Okay, and I know you got probably a long flight there, don't you?
No, actually. I only have an 8.5-hour drive from where I live.
Oh, you're driving?
Correct.
Okay.
So I live just south of the Canadian border, so it's a little more cost-effective for us to drive up there than it is for us to fly.
Are you the tallest bare-knuckle fighter in the BKFC?
To the best of my knowledge. The BKFC still hasn't updated it. They have someone else who is 6'5". On the roster. If you look up who's the tallest bare knuckle fighter, it's not me, unfortunately. I have raised that with my management a couple of times. Not because it's like, oh yes, look at me, I'm the tallest, but it does increase my availability for marketing, and it's just kind of cool.
And have you ever fought any opponents at your exact height or taller?
No. Everyone that I've fought has either been has always been shorter than me.
Okay.
And for the most part, heavier than me, too.
Okay. Do you have an idea of how you expect this fight to start? Like, start out slow or fast?
Well, you know, it's a fight. Anything can happen. Really just depends on our mentality going in there. From both of his fights, I don't expect him to be a hard starter. But if he is, I'm more than happy to accept that because it's going to push the pace and give the crowd an exciting show.
And are you typically a shit talker or a guy who calls out other guys? I know that's a thing for a lot of fighters, to shit talk and call out other guys.
So I don't necessarily believe in the negativity of it. There are certain people that I would like to fight. I'm not going to mention any right now because I'm focused on the fight.
You got to focus on this fight, yeah.
Absolutely. But if there are people that I want to fight, I try to go about it in a respectful manner. Be like, hey, man, I see what you did there. I'm stoked about your accomplishments, where you're going. I would love the opportunity to share the ring with you so we could grow as professionals. You know, I try to take a more positive and business-like approach to calling people out.
Yeah, because I noticed a lot of people was calling out some of the fighters on the last card. You had a lot of 2-0 guys calling out champions.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, y'all should get a few more fights out of your belt.
You got to build that resume before you start talking to the big dogs, man. And I make I take no liberties when it comes to advertising myself. I'm a low-level professional. I know that. Mm-hmm. Especially after my loss in Billings, I have a lot of rapport and a lot of respect that I got to earn back in these next few fights before I'm taken seriously again.
Yeah, but I think, you know, the company is definitely looking at the value you have, you know, because some of these guys only get fights when they're locally in their area. And you just had the Florida fight. Now you're getting the Canada fight. you know, you win this one, there's no telling what's next for you. And I ain't seen none of your fights where people be like, ah, that's a terrible fight or a bad fight. It seemed like all your fights are really good fights. And even if you lose in this sport, you can win, still win if the fight is a really good fight and you put on a good performance.
Oh, absolutely. And the BKFC is really good about not being what is the way I want to say this? They're very people-minded. Okay. If you come in, you're respectful to their staff, you put on a good show, win, lose, or draw, they're more than happy to have you back. You know, they care about their fighters, they care about their people, and it reflects in how they book and with, you know, how often their fighters get fights.
Yeah, because, I mean, even when people criticize BKFC and stuff, which everybody gets criticized and has haters, every fighter I interview almost talks about BKFC as a family organization or family environment. Do you feel that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I mean, the head matchmaker, Nate Shook, his wife, yeah, Katie Nate Shook, is the one who makes all of our travel arrangements.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
I've met the Shook family. I've met a lot of the families of the people involved in the BKFC. I meet a lot of the fighters' families. You know, I mean, I'm a family man myself.
Yeah.
I take my wife now that we're together, I take my wife with me pretty much anywhere I go, especially when it comes to the combat sports.
Does she like it?
Oh, she loves it. Scares the absolute bejesus out of her when I'm getting ready to fight. But I mean, you know, if someone you care about going to potentially get really hurt, I mean, I'd be scared too.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule, man. Your fight is like, it's right around the corner. We got fight week this week and fight week next week.
Oh, absolutely. This next coming week is the last bit of my official camp down here in Florida.
Okay.
I'll be flying back home to Great Falls on Saturday. Taking Sunday off to recuperate and recover. Then it's light work through the rest of the week. And then I drive out on Thursday to go up to Edmonton. And then, you know, then it's fight week, man.
Man, so I can't wait, man. I'm excited to definitely see your next fight, man. Wishing you the best of luck, man. I mean, another win to have you at 3-1. You're going to be looking good, man.
Absolutely. That's what my coaches and my corners keep telling me. They're like, yeah, you're 2-0 right now. You know, you had a couple of good fights, a hard loss. But once you become 3-0, you're going to have a lot more eyes on you. They're also trying to help me push my social medias and my media presence so I can start gaining more traction and being a bigger ticket seller so I can get better venues, better opponents, better pay, and just better fights.
Well, I'll make sure when I get off of here, you know, I always like to start clipping up clips first thing and just start, you know, throwing the clips out there on Facebook and YouTube and everything. You know, audio versions going to go to Spotify, Apple, all the streaming platforms. You're a friend of the show now, so if you want to come back on anytime, please do, man.
Awesome. Well, I really appreciate your time, you taking time out to come and talk to me, Mr. Paul.
Yep, and before you go, any shout-outs you want to do? Like sponsors, anything?
Absolutely. First and foremost, I'd like to shout out my wife. She's 20 weeks pregnant, letting me come all the way out here to Florida, okay, holding down the family and the kids back home. I'd like to thank Gear Grabbers Garage, Great Falls Precision Home Services, Precision Tile and Flooring, the Halftime Sports Bar and Grill, all of which based out of Great Falls, Diesel's Counterpunch, my gym, Smith Brothers Combat Sports, Storm Athlete Management, BKFC, and anybody and everybody who's been involved in this camp and my fight career and in my journey in martial arts, I'd like to give a special thank you to.
Once again, man, you know, shout out to you. Thank you for taking out the time, man. You're more than welcome to come back anytime, man, and I can't wait to see you fight.
Awesome. I appreciate your time today, Mr. Paul. I hope you have a great rest of your day, and I look forward to being back on your show.
All right, thank you, man. Enjoy the rest of your day, too.
You as well, sir.
All right, peace.
Bye.
Well, there you got it, Brady Big Bird Meister. Little lag at first, but connection kind of came in a lot better. So he will be fighting, not this week, but next week. He will be in Edmonton, Canada, BKFC Fight Night Edmonton. Of course, we just interviewed good friend of the show, James Dazzle, as well. So let me go over this fight card at BKFC Fight Night Edmonton. Of course, you got Drew Stu versus Will Santiago. Drew Stoove was looking to go to 3-0. Chad Lucanis versus Tim Tamaki, who actually James Dazzle fought twice in BKFC for, I forgot who it was. It's a Canadian bare knuckle fight promotion. You got Hassan Al-Ghanim versus Zach Pannell. Al-Ghanim is looking to go to 4-0. Then, of course, you got Bodan Kotok versus Brady Meister. Brady's looking to go to 3-1. Kotok is 1-0, looking to try to go to 2-0. That's two big boys right there, 6'4", 6'7". That's going to be interesting. You got Nick Felber versus James Dazzle. Both are making their debut for BKFC, looking to get their first win. You got Alexandra Delgado Lopez versus Emma Murray. Alexandra Delgado Lopez is 1-0, looking to get 2-0, and Emma Murray trying to get her first win. Kamani Crawford versus Matthew. I'm going to butcher this name. Soko Lotiak. I can't even pronounce that right. Socholotiuk. He's 2-1, and Kamani Crawford's 1-0. So that should be an interesting one. Adam DeFrides versus Skylar Mahler. Skylar Mahler is 1-0, looking to go to 2-0, and Adam's trying to get his first win in BKFC. You got Justin Kennedy versus Caden Scott. Caden Scott's 1-0, looking to go to 2-0. Justin Kennedy is making his debut. And you got Caden Guru versus Joseph Career. Joseph Career got 6 bare knuckle fights under his belt, 3-3, looking to go to 4-3, and 1-0 for Caden Guru. And I don't know if there's any free fights already yet on this. They don't have none announced. But definitely make sure y'all tune in. Appreciate y'all tuning into this interview with Brady Meister. He will be, like I said, BKFC Fight Night Edmonton. You can watch that on the BKFC app, Fubo Sports. And I usually watch it on Amazon Prime, so you can watch it on there as well. But make sure y'all tune in to that. Also, like, comment, subscribe, all that good stuff. Appreciate everybody that tuned in on Instagram. Let's see some of the people that came in. Dream Killer, Edgar Plaziolo, appreciate you. He tuned in. My man, Mr. Jones. Savage Combat Sports Media. Ron, what's good with you? Appreciate you tuning in. And a few others. Crystal Van Wick, appreciate you tuning in as well. And everybody else that tuned in. Oh, my God, David Simpson. Definitely check him out. He will be fighting at Sturgis this Saturday. And go check out the interview with that as well. I appreciate y'all, man. I'm always live on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram when I go live. Bare knuckle fight interviews are not no set time. I try to work around the fighter schedule as much as possible because I know most of the time they're in training camps and they got a lot going on. And don't forget to follow Live for Vietnam as well, which is available on YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook. We go live on Thursdays and Fridays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Times. And Saturdays is usually 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with live music reviews. We're about to wrap it up. Appreciate y'all tuning in. Paul Pickett Podcast, a.k.a. Triple P, a.k.a. The Common Sense Podcast. And we got another bare knuckle fight interview in the books. About to get off here, clip up some clips, upload it to Rumble, Millions.co, and Spotify, Apple, Amazon, Deezer. Tune in, Stitcher, Slacker, iHeartRadio, Player FM, and much, much more. Peace. And I'm out.